Welcome back to another episode of the Adam Schefter Podcast. Coming off championship weekend, heading into Pro Bowl week and then Super Bowl week, we will be joined by the mayor of Flavortown himself, the star and creator of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the man who has his first Super Bowl commercial debuting next week in regards to Bud Light Seltzers. We will be joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Guy Fieri, who oddly enough has some insight into the retirement of Tom Brady. We will be joined by the former Rams and Hall of Fame running back, Jerome Bettis, who has a remarkable story about going back to school. What Hall of Fame running back has accomplished as Jerome Bettis now feels the urge to go back to finish his college degree? But that's exactly what Jerome Bettis is doing now, serving as an inspiration to all. And we had taped this podcast previously, midday Monday, before Tom Brady officially announced early Tuesday that he was retiring from the game. And it's a sad day for football. It's a nostalgic time for fans and franchises across the league. There are people who know nothing of watching football other than with Tom Brady winning championships and posting records and being the great teammate that he was. Do you realize how much money Tom Brady has made for players who became free agents and left New England or Tampa, or coaches who left New England to go take head coaching jobs or promotions elsewhere, or even the value of the Patriots franchise? What did Tom Brady do for that and the value of that team, which impacts the value of franchises across the league as the Denver Broncos are officially put up for sale on Tuesday? There are all the memories he created for fans, all the fans that loved him, all the fans that despised him. But we all could agree that Tom Brady goes down like a Muhammad Ali type figure, like a Michael Jordan like figure, like a Tiger Woods like figure, like the greatest athletes in any respective sport. That's how dominant he was. That's how much he meant to the game. And that's how much he'll be missed. Now, Tom Brady goes forward, and we talked about the fact that he mentioned on his Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray that his family's always been there for him, and now it's time for him to be there with his family. And I think ultimately that's really the biggest driver of this decision. But I also think Tom Brady has ideas about what he wants to do next and what challenges await, because he's 44. And what business, what company out there wouldn't want to be connected and affiliated with Tom Brady in any walk of life? Almost anybody could and would. And so Tom Brady will get to choose to do whatever he wants as he continues to spread the message of the TB12 method, and everybody celebrates him, and there can't be enough celebrating of how good he was, how much he meant, and all that he did across his 22 seasons in the National Football League after leaving Michigan. I go back and I watch that highlight tape of him in a bowl game against Alabama. I believe it was the Orange Boys playing quarterback for Michigan. The NFL scouts don't think much of him. He goes on to become the 199th pick. But when you watched him in college, and I watched Michigan football, you could say, well, why didn't this guy go higher? Like, he looked like a better quarterback then. If you just watched that bowl game, there was definitely something to him, and the Patriots saw it, and they benefited from it, and we're all better for having gotten to watch the great Tom Brady do what he did. Wish him the very best with all the challenges that are ahead. His mark will be felt on this game for years to come. And we'll talk more about Tom Brady's legacy in our next podcast next week with ESPN reporter Jeff Darlington as well. That'll be coming up next week. And the interesting part about this also is that we taped the great Guy Fieri, the writer and creator of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, on Monday morning. And he had a great Tom Brady story in there, because Guy and I have interacted and crossed paths at best buddy functions in the Boston area that Tom Brady was an integral part of. And that's the other part that people didn't see. Tom Brady giving his free time every year on weekends to best buddies, to helping raise awareness and funds for that organization did an incredible job year after year. And even after he became Tom Brady, he kept doing it. And he knew people's names and he thanked everybody. Couldn't have been more genuine, humble, and nice about it. But anyway, I got to meet Guy Fieri at one of these events that we both appeared at together. And Guy Fieri, in our conversation now, when he gets to talk about his Super Bowl commercial, the first Super Bowl commercial he's ever done, shares an incredible story that I want you to remember. We taped on Monday morning in the midst of the Brady controversy as we awaited official word from Tom Brady. And did you hear those dogs barking? Well, guess who's going to like that? Guy Fieri. Guy, what's going on?
Good morning, or good afternoon, I guess, where you guys are.
What's better? Whoa, we got a dog in the house there, Guy, or what?
Oh, no, it's a zoo in my house. We have four dogs, everything from a German Shepherd and English Mastiff to a French Bulldog to a Chihuahua. And the French Bulldog thinks he is the king of the castle, and he's barking at a shadow.
Well, guess what? You probably won't hear this very often, but I have more dogs than you do, Guy.
Seriously?
Five dogs, five Labradoodles.
In the house?
In the house.
Bro.
We had the same kind of life. I know it's a dog's life, literally, right?
I had dogs my whole life, and we used to have Rottweilers. And my wife and I, when we first got married, and the Rottweilers always lived outside. Well, then my wife, for her birthday, she wanted a German Shepherd so bad, so I bought her this German Shepherd. All of a sudden, the German Shepherd's living in the house. I'm like, wait. Where did that come from? Where does the German Shepherd living in the house deal? I didn't remember signing up for this. And so once the German Shepherd lived in the house, now the English Mastiff, the kid's dog lives in the house. And well, then I got a Chihuahua for my birthday, my 50th. So of course, the Chihuahua can't stay outside. It's a zoo. It is. I can't believe we don't have a pony and a pet pig.
Literally, it is a zoo. You know what? I always tell people that we had two dogs. My wife wanted a third. Somehow she ordered two. I didn't want the extra. I would say, they say, how did you get to five dogs? I said, basically, my wife wanted five dogs. And so I didn't want five dogs. We compromised. We got five dogs. Right?
Yeah. I love those negotiating skills that go down. That's really the way to get it done. Right? Yeah. So we basically, yeah. So that's why we have five dogs. And ours is, where they get fed, when they eat. They're like children. But we love our dogs. And I'll tell you a funny one. The French Bulldog, we've only had him for about 4 months. My son, my youngest son, Ryder, and I were talking about this and about French Bulldogs forever. And so I'm in LA on the streets,
yeah,
shooting a commercial, sitting there waiting to do a commercial. And this dog walks by. Then the dog jumps all over my leg. And, oh, it's British, or it's a French Bulldog. End up talking to the guy's like, hey, chef, I met you. I was so-and-so chef. We ended up talking for a bit. And I said, give me the name of the breeder of this dog, would you? And he said, hey, how about this? He goes, I got to get rid of the dog. I said, what? So I call my wife. I give her the info. She says, absolutely not. We do not need another dog. But I also included the boys on the text, told them about the dog. They hounded her. She texted me back. She goes, you put the boys on me? That's not fair. That's bad play. I showed up with the dog.
There you go. Hey, so are these the best fed dogs in America? Like, do they eat like gourmet cooking or what?
These, they sit. So we were cooking yesterday for the games. We had a big menu yesterday, and they sit right in the kitchen, right behind the stove. You know, I have a commercial kitchen, and they sit right there in the way. And people are like, doesn't this bother you? I'm like, listen, dude, I've kicked the dogs out of here enough times. And they just sit there. They know that there's something is going to fall in front of them. And the French Bulldog, his name is Cash, but his name should be Roomba, the way he wanders through and picks up, garbage disposal.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. It expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained. or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam.
Anyhow, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan. Love the show. Love all that you do. Love the insight. This is appreciate being invited on.
And likewise, guy, I appreciate that. What's it like for you to have a big Super Bowl commercial coming out in a couple of weeks here? That's a big deal. Is that your first one?
First one. And I can't even put this on my bucket list. When I got my star in Hollywood,
yep.
People say, did you always dream of having your star? Dream of having my star in Hollywood? Are you kidding me? I'm a cook. You know, I don't even know what's going on here. Great, Grace. This is the crescendo of opportunities in doing a commercial or having a partnership. The Bud Light Seltzer Hard Soda team has been unbelievable to work with. I mean, you know your expectation of your team and your information and how we're going to deliver this and all that kind of stuff. So I produce my own TV shows.
Right.
I design them. I've got, you know, I'm the EP on a bunch of other shows. So I have an incredibly high expectation. I haven't been this blown away with working with a group. Not only are they hard soda dynamite, I think they did a great job in what they made. That was the first thing. Yeah, I really had to like the show. It had to be a real deal. I'm a seltzer-ish guy. But I'm not into all the random flavors. I think that this is genius what they've done with the hard sodas to make the cola and the cherry cola. I mean, these are all things we remember from our younger years of, you know, and then to make a citrus soda that really has a citrus flavor. And orange, of course, I don't know what your favorite is. I love orange. And they did it great. So I said, okay, these are great. Now let's talk about this commercial. They said, what would you like it to be? And I said, well, I'm a guy with, you know, high expectations of flavor. I am the mayor. And
the mayor of flavor.
Yeah, I'm the mayor of flavor. And if this is the loudest soda, we've got to have this land of loud flavors. Okay, all right. We had a huge meeting. It was like a jam session. It was like what musicians must go through to write. We do it as chefs when we start jamming on a recipe. There wasn't a thing that I brought up that they didn't go. I mean, I told them about my cart. When I was a kid, I had a business called the Awesome Pretzel Cart. And I sold soft steam pretzels. That's in the commercial.
Wow.
My company is called Knuckle Sandwich. That's in the commercial. I mean, I say, you know, that's so good. I serve it on a flip-flop. That's in the commercial. I mean, there's not a piece that they missed. So people have asked me, what is this like for you? I said, you know, this is like being drafted. This is like being first round drafted.
Really? Really?
Oh, I love the Super Bowl. That's my favorite day. Even if my Raiders aren't there for a long time, is my favorite day. I look forward to it. I look forward to the weekend, to the gear up, the whole thing. And we're going to go through our dry spell here for, you know, for 2 weeks. But it's the anticipation that's coming. But the commercials are always the cherry on top. You know, even if it's not your team playing, you're always looking forward, like, what whack situation is going to happen? Who's going to blow this up this year? I'm going to blow. Bud Light, Seltzer, Hard Soda, Guy Fieri, you're going to blow this up. Have you seen the commercial?
No.
Bro. You know what?
I was out walking the dogs. I didn't have time.
The herd. You were out herding the dogs. You heard that. You don't walk five. You herd five. I'll tell you what, brother.
Yeah.
It's a 60-second movie. That's how far we went. So I flew. I was shooting guys' grocery games. Then I talked with the Bud Light Seltzer Hard Soda team twice a week. And we go through little pieces. I mean, they're always putting stuff together. I compressed my shoot week of guys grocery games because we had one day to do this. I only had one day. I fly to Atlanta at night, get there. We shoot for 12 hours in a CG, in a movie studio. CG crazy, huge. Wow. CG walls.
Wow.
There are people there, bleached hair, in uniforms that we designed. I mean, to look, they look like my chef coats, but in leather. Most elaborate build out I've ever seen. I've never been to a movie set that looked like this. And we shoot this commercial. They bring in this super, I'm just this mindful director that does rock videos and all kinds of, contemporary videos. And so if they're going to make the Bud Light Seltzer hard soda the best in the business, then they're going to deliver that same level in the commercial. Wait till you see it.
So you're telling me that meant more to you than getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
No, I don't want to misinterpret that. No, getting the star was something I could never have dreamed of.
Yeah.
This is something I could never have dreamed of. But in the world of a commercial, in the world of all of the media stuff that I've done, this has got to be the highest platform. You know, the parallel that I was using is something people say, oh, did you always dream of this? Even in a guy that has a big imagination, I couldn't have dreamed of this. I never dreamed that I'd get a star in Hollywood. It couldn't even, that's not even something that was on my radar. This isn't even something I could have really put into words, because Bud Light, those commercials, remember when the horse kicked the ball?
Yeah.
You know, those commercials, when we were younger, you'd sit there and look at them and just go like, God, that's cool. You know, like that wasn't even in my league. So for them to call me up, and not just call me up, but to have this unity, to have the same vision, to have the same energy in so many different facets. And then when we all got to meet, it was kind of like a big family reunion, because I'd only met him I brought all presents. I brought all knuckle sandwich t-shirts and, you know, all my stuff from my side of the world. And it comes through. It comes through with all that authenticity and all the authenticity that they have in the Bud Light Seltzer hard sodas. They were able to depict that in this land of loud flavors.
How long did it take you to shoot this 60-second commercial? Can I take a guess?
Go.
I'm gonna say 2 full days, 3 full days.
Because I am such a professional, as you are, we did it in 13 hours.
Wow.
But there's a lot. They did a lot. There's a lot of parts that they did. I mean, I think for them, it was, I think it was like 8 days that they spent. I mean, I don't call it a commercial. I call it a 60-second movie.
Excuse me. How long did it take you to film the 60-second movie? That's what I meant.
Exactly.
That's what I meant, guys.
Here's the thing that's going to be the problem. I'm going to say this right now. People are going to want this to turn into a movie. People are going to want to know what else is there.
Why can't it? And I want a role in the movie. I want a role, guy. And I want to bring my dogs with your dogs in the movie.
I'm going to tell you what. That's what this is going to turn into, because I get asked, I have people walk up to me in the airport all the time. I have people walk up to me and say, I'm a resident. You know, you're the mayor. I'm a resident. They named my son the prince. I said, wait. How do I get the mayor? My son gets the prince. The prince is higher than the mayor. I mean, my son gets assistant director of parking lots. You know, he's not the prince, but people want to know what happens in this land. And the Bud Light Seltzer team, well, we know what flows in the streams and we know what flows in the fountains is the hard sodas. And that's what people, bro, you got to watch. Find the commercial. It's in your inbox. You should watch it right now. I want to hear what
it's not in my inbox. I never got it. I didn't get it.
Somebody is getting an F.
Somebody because you're dropped supposed the to ball.
Have it. I want you to see this. You got to call me and tell me what you think, because it is.
Guy, somebody just Quiskey tarted this commercial to me. I'm just telling you right now.
Somebody needs to get this in your inbox. And you know who I'm going to hear it from is our girl, Sage Steele, that I didn't send it to her, because she's going to be at my tailgate party. I do this big tailgate party every year. Are you going to be in LA this year?
Of course.
You got to work before the game, don't you?
Before the game? No, not before the game, because the pregame show ends at 2:00 Eastern. And the game kicks off 6:30. So I've got a 4-hour window.
Hey, so I throw the biggest tailgate party, the best tailgate party, hands down, bar none. I mean, I'm Bud Light Seltzer hard soda level, which we'll have a bunch of that there. But I throw this tailgate party and it's looped to get in. I mean, it's things like $700 to get in. I do it with this company called Bullseye. But we bring in all the greatest chefs. I have like 5 of my favorite chefs that'll be there. We have Sage is my reporter. Sage is my interviewer. She interviews 50 different athletes come to it. DJ Irie comes from Florida. He does the music. And then the food and the booze and the Bud Light hard seltzers are all there. and you got to come to this party.
So, so Sage gets to work it. She gets invited. I didn't get an invitation. I didn't get invited.
But yeah. she doesn't get an on live interview invite. She gets the Sage. Can you please make it? But she's one of my dearest friends. I've been friends with Sage for a long time, and she does such a great job.
She's amazing. And so she's my good friend. She's your good friend. That makes us good friends, guy.
Brother, I've been watching you forever, so I'm a fan. So I, this is, you know, this is a great, what I love. So I'm a huge football fan. And
well, we've been together before, you know, where we've done events. I'm going to test your memory. You don't even know.
Hey, remember yesterday I was watching the game. It was a long day.
Well, hold on. You know, where we've done a bunch of things together.
Where?
Best buddies. Tom Brady, Boston.
That is right.
Shriver household.
I was just talking about that just this morning about, you know, Tom retiring or not retiring or what's going on, and which, you know, Brady's my boy. He's great. I mean, he's the GOAT, and everybody was, you know, what's the that, as you know, that was the talk yesterday.
It was. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, really? when did that news break? I texted his publicist, is a really good friend of mine,
Steph Jones,
and I texted her and I said, I just sent an emoji with a tear, and I just said, please tell me this is not true, you know.
And she said?
So anyhow, I buy seltzers.
I was looking for that last confirmation. Thank you, guy. Thank you.
Bud Light seltzers, hard sodas. I don't know if you've had a chance to try these, but the orange will take you back to your younger years.
I got to tell you something. That was one of the great exchanges I've ever had on the history of this podcast right there. That was really good. I want to transition a little bit because there are a few things I want to know before I let you go. And you've been very generous with your time. And it seems like we have a lot more to cover and talk about another time. Maybe
I'll call back. We'll do this another time.
Maybe you'll hire me to compliment Sage sometime. You know, maybe, you know, you can have two reporters. See, they're already asking to wrap up very quickly. Your last meal on earth, what would it be? I got you stumped there, don't I?
Not as exciting as you want this to be.
Go ahead.
But it would probably be spaghetti and tomato sauce.
Wow.
Has to be perfectly al dente bucatini. It has to be the best tomato sauce, San Marzano, fresh basil, simple. My mouth is starting to water even talking about this. Fresh grated Reggiano Parmigiana, and a really good crusty sourdough garlic bread. And that's it. I mean, it's my favorite. And I love Asian food. I love sushi. I love everything. But as from my, you know, from my childhood, that's what I remember.
And if there were one restaurant, I said, you get to eat in one place before you left this earth, guy. Only one restaurant. Where are you in your last? It'd be Bucatini. I got that. But what would the place be that you would go to?
Well, what you're asking me is who's your favorite kid? That's what you're asking me. Okay. You're putting me on the spot to say, who's your best friend in the world? And I got to say this. Yeah. That's dangerous.
Excluding the four dogs.
That's dangerous to say that. But I will say one of my places that I would have to eat before I die is a place called Reno's in Boston. And Tony is the owner. It's only about 10 tables in the place. They hand make the pasta to order. And the food is legit. Tony is larger than life. You can't get into the joint. If you ever want to go, you got to call me. I have to call Tony. And every time I do, I owe him. But the only 10 tables in the place, tiny little place, South Boston, and it is lights out. One of the best places you ever try.
I appreciate you making the time today. The mayor of Flavor, the man in the Super Bowl commercial, the 60-second movie. Fantastic.
Well, we got a lot to talk about, a lot to catch up on. I'll send you a text, and then let's make sure that when you have some time, I'd love to come back and we can do more on football, more on food and football. And anytime you want me, I'm down.
Guy, you're the man. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Be good, brother. Catch you soon.
And now, for a former colleague and friend, a man who played for both the Los Angeles Rams and the St. Louis Rams before going on to great success from 1996 through 2005 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, He ranked fifth all time with over 13,600 career rushing yards at the retirement. He was voted to six Pro Bowls. And now a man that accomplished is doing something that should serve as an inspiration to all, Jerome Bettis. Who's that handsome guy?
Shefty, what's up, sir? How are you?
Long time no see, my friend.
Oh, man, it's good to hear from you. Good to hear from you, man.
Nice to see you, Bus. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking, man. I'm doing well. No complaints out of me, none.
Well, they're paying you to talk about air quality, which we'll get to at the end of this, with you being asthmatic, and I'm happy to have you on to talk about that. But more
important, thank you.
Just what's going on in your life, Bus?
You know what? Everything is swirling. I am back at Notre Dame. I'm taking classes to get my degree. So it's a whirlwind. The classes are tough. The technology gap is huge. But I'm fighting through and I'm finding a way to get it done.
Wait, so you are on the campus of South Bend like a regular student taking classes to get your degree?
I'm literally right now, I am on the campus right now. And I had classes Monday through Thursday. I'm a normal student going to class. I've got an apartment here in town. Sometimes I can fly home for the weekend. But for the most part, I'm here until May. I've got four courses that I've got to get through, and then I will be ready to graduate. So it's significant, but I'm looking forward to it.
What are you getting your degree in?
I was a business major, so I got a marketing degree. Yeah.
What compelled you to go back to school now to get your degree?
Actually, you know what? It was a few things. One, we had. Me and the wife, we had created an endowment for the sports football program. And so in coming back and doing that, one of the assistant provosts asked me, hey, you considering finishing? And put the thought in my mind. And then, you know, a couple of years passed and I considered it more and more. And as my kids started to get older, I said to myself, this is something I need to really think about. And then COVID presented the opportunity initially for me to take some classes at home. I wasn't doing anything, so it was a great opportunity. And then I needed to come back on campus for the last 12 credits, and it was just like, oh, man, I don't know if I could do that. But my wife, she was incredible through this process. Said, hey, if this is what you need to do it because our kids are watching. And so I said, 100%, I'm doing it. I want my kids to know how important education is. It's so important, I decided to go back to school when I didn't have to get my degree.
So are you living in South Bend by yourself or is your family with you, Bus?
No, I am here. I got class Monday afternoon and I'm done Thursday. So I can jump on a plane Thursday night, fly to Atlanta, where I live. And then I'm there for the weekend. I fly back Monday morning and go right to classes.
It's a little bit like going to Bristol Monday, staying at the Doubletree, and going back home on Thursday, right?
Absolutely. It's just like that. But the only difference is I got a lot of reading. I got books. I got papers to write. A little bit more impactful, a little bit more.
How many Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning players are walking around the Notre Dame campus trying to get their final 12 credits to get that degree in business?
Nobody. You're like, what? Hey, and I thought to myself, the first day I get on campus, it was like 4 degrees. It was a blizzard. I'm saying to myself, what am I doing here? Are you the craziest person alive? But I got through it, and it's been all good so far.
What's it like for someone in our age group to be back at college knowing what you know now and going through that experience?
You know what? It's totally different because I see things from a different lens. You know, most right. of these business classes, they're looking at it from the front side. I'm looking at it from the back side because I've been in that position. I understand what the professor is trying to teach. And they have no clue. And they're saying, well, why is this important? And I'm saying, it's critically important, and this is why. So I'm looking at it from a different viewpoint. So it's really interesting. And now I want to learn more than when I was 21, 22, didn't care. All I want to do is pass so I can get to the next class. Now I'm really wanting to retain the information. So it's pretty neat.
Do you ever get to talk to any of the football players? Like, it's just, the thought occurs to me, a safety like Kyle Hamilton is leaving school early. So he's not getting his degree. He's going into the NFL, and you're back at school getting your degree with all the credentials you have. Do you get to yield any influence on all the players who are part of that Notre Dame football program?
Well, yeah, you know what? I'll just through being here, get a chance to talk to some of the guys. I've met a couple of the guys already. And, you know, I've talked to coach, he's going to introduce me to the team, and then I'll have an opportunity just to dialogue with him. But I hope by me coming back, it shows the importance of why it's so important to get a degree from this university. So hopefully, you know, what I'm doing will kind of, resonate with the players that's here now.
Boss, that's awesome. What do you do with that degree once you get it? Like, what do you want to do once you graduate?
Well, you know what? I just want to put it on the shelf. I've been fortunate. I've been fortunate in business and been involved in business. I think I want to use some of the knowledge, though, in the businesses that I'm involved in now. So I definitely have a use for the information. Maybe not so much the degree, but a really big use for the information.
Do you go to frat parties during the week? Like Tuesday night, you're going over to frat parties and you're drinking beer bombs, Bus?
No, but I'm looking forward to Monday. They've got they got a big basketball game against Duke. And I never, my whole time at Notre Dame, never went to like a big basketball game, anything like that. I'm looking forward. I'm going to the game, hopefully. I'm a sneak in the student section. I just want to see. I want to see what it's like.
Is school like you remembered it being now that you're back?
No, totally different. Totally different. You know, all of my courses now, we're getting put in groups. And that was never really the case back, you know, in the early 90s. There were some classes that you get in a group, but every class I'm in now, they put us in a group for a group project. And that was just so foreign to me. So it's much different. But I'll say it's definitely enlightening. I'll say that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We got the Super Bowl coming up, Bus. What is your favorite memory from playing in the Super Bowl?
Oh, wow. My favorite memory was touching down in the city. My teammates wore my Notre Dame jerseys getting off the plane. But for me, it was special because it was my hometown.
Detroit.
I was coming back to Detroit where I was from. So getting off that plane, that moment was really special to me because it was like this is what I have been playing, busting my butt, scrapping, doing everything for, an opportunity to play in the biggest game in football. And now I'm actually here. So that was a huge moment for me.
That was your last game too, wasn't it?
That was my last game. Yeah.
Do you miss it now?
I the only thing I miss is the locker room, the camaraderie with my teammates. I don't miss the actual game. I played 13 years. I was ready to go before I retired. Really, a year before I was ready to retire, and they convinced me to come back. because physically my body was shot. I didn't have much left in the tank. And you know, the football was almost out of me. After that last year, football was totally out of me, and I was ready for the next chapter of my life.
So what do you think is going to happen next for Ben Roethlisberger, who just stepped away, and for the Pittsburgh Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger? What's in store for each of them, Bus?
Okay, so for Ben, now it's quieting the noise, right? So much stuff, so much. Now, once he steps away, it's going to get really quiet. Now he has to figure out what's the next chapter in his life, because you turn the page, but you start another page. And what is that page going to look like? What do you want to do? You know, what hobbies did you have? What do you want to explore? There's going to be a lot of things that he has to kind of figure out during this time, so that, you know, he stays positive, because, you know, it can take you in a negative or a dark place at times, because, you know, everything that you've always known is no more. There's no more locker room. There's no more teammates. There's no more walking down, talking to coach. It's all of a sudden I'm at home 24/7. What am I going to do? So that's part of what Ben has to deal with. The other part is the organization. And I think that's a tough one, because when a Hall of Fame quarterback who's played for 18 years walks out of the door, there's no easy substitute. So, you know, it could be a long situation. You won't get, maybe not as lucky as you got with Ben, right? So we'll see what happens. Right now, all indications means that they're going to look at a veteran. They're going to probably draft a quarterback. They're going to do everything they can possibly do to find the next quarterback.
They went through this once before. They lost Terry Bradshaw, and it took the organization a long time before it landed back on its feet, maybe you could argue, until it got Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, there was some success with Neil O'Donnell, yeah, but they really never returned to the glory of the Steelers until Ben came along.
And it's about winning a championship, ultimately. It's not about having good seasons or winning games. It's about winning a championship. So, absolutely, you know, the success didn't happen until Ben Roethlisberger, right? You didn't have another Hall of Fame quarterback until Ben Roethlisberger. So I no question there's a big gap, and you hope it's not the same type of gap for the next quarterback.
Any chance you can get him into a Pepsi commercial with Peyton and Eli?
I'm going to work on that one next.
And after you work on that one, any chance you can get me in a Pepsi commercial with Peyton and Eli?
Hey, it was a great commercial with those guys. And Terry Bradshaw he is hilarious. I mean, when the cameras are off, he's hilarious. So he was wonderful to work with too.
Who's funnier, Terry Bradshaw or Mort?
Oh, Terry is just hilarious. I mean, he's just funny. He is. I mean, he's just naturally funny. He really is.
When we watch the Super Bowl coming up, Bus, what's your must-have food for the Super Bowl?
Wow. Must-have? Wow. That's a great one. Well, I got to have my stacks, you know. I got to have my Lay's. I got to have my Doritos. but outside of that actual food, I need wings. I want to have a slice of pizza. Ooh. If I can, you know, and I want to dip. I want to have something to dip. I want something that I can dip. That's it.
Now, as your good friend, if I said to you, Bus, I'm going to get Guy Fieri to cook for you during the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
What do you want him cooking you up? What do you want him whipping you up? Because we might be able to make this happen here, Bus.
Oh boy, I would say sliders, some kind of his favorite dip. I want you to make his favorite dip. I want him to hook up some wings. He likes them. I wouldn't want to say, just make how you like them. Ooh, That's a good one. And I would say some type of Italian dish for the Super Bowl. Something like some type of fettuccine or some type of pasta, something that I could kind of sink my teeth into. I think he could throw down there. Absolutely.
Something a little better than we used to get in the ESPN cafe.
Something a little bit better. If we're using his skill set, we said we're gonna take it up a notch. Let's go up.
Now, who is the one running back in the game whose skills you admire today, Bus? A guy that you really like?
King Henry. Oh my goodness, he's a man. But outside of the throwback, because he's the throwback. You know, he's the one guy that you say, whoa. I like Najee. I think he's the future of what the running back position is going to look like.
In what way?
In that you got to be a punishing runner, but you also have to be nimble enough, agile enough to catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he can jump over somebody. I mean, this guy 230 pounds, and still able to do those type of things. So I think when you look at him, you know, he's that new type of running back that you're going to see that has the ability to do it all.
You know, it's kind of neat. He's a great guy, and he's the Steelers running back, and you're a great guy, and you were the Steelers running back. Has he ever leaned on you or reached out to you for any type of advice or wisdom about playing the position that you played in Pittsburgh as well as you did?
He has. Earlier in the season, he reached out. He wanted to, watch some film together and get my opinion on some things. And we made it happen. I came in, went to the facility, I met with him, watched some film, kind of gave my suggestions on some things and some things to look at. And one big thing I had to explain to him is you've got to be conscious of how you fall. If you're a running back and you get 25 carries, odds are you're going to hit the ground 25 times. And you got to know how to fall. You've got people falling on you. Your collarbone can go at any minute. So you have to know how to position yourself when you're falling so that you avoid some of those injuries that happen, because you're going to get tackled every time you touch the ball, just about. So you got to be prepared for it.
Now, before I let you go, Bus, you were diagnosed as an asthmatic at the age of 15. Why is indoor air quality so important to you?
Well, it's critically important to me because I've been dealing with air quality, you know, the majority of my life. You know, at 14, being diagnosed, it meant that I had to look at things much differently. I had to look at the air quality of our house as a big issue. And like my mom and sister couldn't wear perfume anymore. We had to not allow pets in the house and things of that nature. And that meant, you know, we had to be diligent. And much like people need to be diligent now in understanding that the air quality at home, it could be compromised. And so now what do I need to do to make sure I can make it better? And there's some simple things that we can do. Air filter, change it, once a quarter instead of once a year or once every couple years when you think about it. Real flowers, real plants in the house. Organic candles, those all make a difference. But the biggest thing that you can do is have the professionals at AirServe, a neighborly company, have them come to the home and they can provide air quality test. And what that does is let you know what the air quality in your home is like, what you're dealing with. If there's a solution that's needed, they can help you with the solution. But you need to know what you're dealing with because there's health implications that come from poor air quality. You've got fatigue, you've got headaches, you've got respiratory issues. It's real. And as long as you know what you're dealing with, then you can know the steps you need to solve them.
AirServe, and they can get the information for AirServe online, AirServe.com?
Yeah, AirServe.com or Neighborly.com.
There you go. You wouldn't like my house, Bus, because we got five dogs running around in here, but you have an open invite. I know you've been in my neighborhood. I know you play golf with some of my friends sometimes.
Yes, I have.
Right? You're invited back anytime you want, and I love seeing you, and I love talking with you, and congratulations on being back in school and doing the right thing and setting an example for your children. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. You have been a stalwart, man. You are a superstar. Thank you for everything. And I am a huge fan of yours as well.
Bus, the respect is mutual. Much love, much respect. And hopefully we get the chance to see and chat again soon. I'm always here if you need anything. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, Bus.
All right, you too. Take care.
Bravo to Jerome Bettis. What a man. And I always love working with that guy. And he was always one of the most popular guys around. But how can you not love somebody who values education in the way that he does and serves as an example to others? Well done, Jerome Bettis. We thank you for your time today. And also one other word about the head coaching cycle that now is still in its midst in the NFL. At the time that we're taping this on Monday, four teams have gone ahead and hired head coaches: the Giants, Bears, Broncos, and Raiders. And let me just say this, that this past week, as one of these searches was coming to a close, had the occasion to speak to one of these particular individuals that was getting a job. He was getting emotional. And I think it was really one of the rare times in covering this every year that it allowed me to stop and think about the range of emotions that goes on with these individuals that have worked their life for this opportunity, that now have to transplant their families to another city, another state sometimes, and now have to move on and say goodbye to whatever success they had in Buffalo or Indianapolis or Green Bay or New England. They are basically ending one chapter of their life and starting a new chapter in their new life. And it's not just them, but it's their entire family. And you can imagine how emotional that was. The guy that I spoke to was emotional. And it stopped me in my tracks because we get so caught up, I get so caught up in reporting in the daily transactional nature of this. Oh, the Broncos hired a head coach. Oh, the Bears hired a head coach. Oh, the Giants hired a head coach. But I know it's obvious, but these guys are humans too, with families. And just like you would like to get a big job promotion and a raise, and it would mean a lot to your wife or whatever it may be, it's no different for these guys who achieve a lifelong goal. And so I don't know why, it just struck me in the course of that conversation. Basically, coaches are humans. Coaches are people too. And they get fired and they get hired just like we do. And so just the human element as this coaching carousel continues to spin around and coaches are hired and coaches are fired. Just, it was a moment that just stayed with me and will always stay with me as I watch these new head coaches move forward and these other teams try to fill their positions. All right. Special thank you today to the writer and creator of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Guy Fieri. Thank you very much to my friend and colleague, Jerome Bettis, the great Hall of Fame running back. Thank you to my great producer, Christina Buswell. And I guess we can call her assistant, Sarah Abbott, as well as you, the listener, for tuning in to another Adam Schefter podcast. Please join us again next week when we will be joined by the host of the NFL Honor Show, Keegan-Michael Key. The man himself will come by to preview what it will be like to host an event of that magnitude. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Be well and stay safe.